your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Annie Daly, author of Destination Wellness. Annie, it's so great to have you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, Annie, I've been excited to chat with you and talk all things wellness, especially because, you know, we've been all dealing with this crazy pandemic the last almost year, which is crazy. And, you know, I know a lot of people are really turning to health and wellness and, you know, try to make themselves better. So I've been looking forward to having you on. This will be a nice little break from the business world to really talk about how we could all, you know, focus on the things that matter. So, you know, for everyone who's listening in, just quick background on you. You know, you're a fourth generation journalist, and you've had an amazing career covering wellness across travel and culture. You were at Condé Nast and BuzzFeed and Yahoo and Cosmopolitan and Good Housekeeping. You kind of have written for everybody, to name a couple. And, you know, I think maybe as a really nice start to the show, you know, talk to us a little bit about your journey into journalism and, you know, how you've really picked up that health and wellness expertise in the space.
Sure. So the health and wellness expertise sort of came along by accident. It was definitely driven by my love for journalism. And as you mentioned, I'm a fourth generation journalist. So I sort of got into it just because I grew up around it, and I'm just not really that good at anything else, to be honest. So my dad and my mom, they met when they were doing the news at NBC in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And then my dad got a job as a local TV news reporter in Rhode Island, which is where I grew up. And so I think just having him come home from the news every single night, and then we would talk about his stories during the day, and, you know, we would analyze. There was just so much analysis of his work every single day, all the time. So when you grow up in that atmosphere, it's just in my bones. Like I am so naturally drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And so the health and wellness thing came because most of my family, like most of the journalists in my family, they're newspaper reporters or TV guys. So for me to go into magazines was like a huge divergence. Like, oh my gosh, I'm absolutely going off path here. But I just loved magazines growing up. And so I just had a burning desire to work at them. And so I started applying for magazine jobs when I was a senior in college. And it took me a couple months, but I eventually landed a job as an editorial assistant at Good Housekeeping magazine. That brought me to New York. And so then once I was at Good Housekeeping, the job that I got just so happened to be, I was an editorial assistant in the health and wellness and features department. And so I got my start in this field. I was the editor of the Drop 5 Pounds page. That was like my first big moment. That was my first byline, was the Drop 5 Pounds page. It was a weight loss and diet and fitness page. And so I was there for a couple of years, and then I made the switch to Cosmopolitan, which was also owned by the same company, by Hearst. So it was actually just 10 floors up in the building. And then I stayed there for a while, and I was writing more about, you know, relationships and dating and all that stuff. So that was, at that point, then I was 28, and so then here's a funny story. And this is just one of those stories about like how life takes funny bounces. So there was an editor at Cosmo who left to go to People magazine. And then she told me that they had an opening, and this opening at People magazine, it was a lot more money. And she was like, you should totally apply, like you're qualified. So I applied, even though I don't really know that much about celebrities or fashion or anything. And I should mention, by the way, it was in the fashion section of People. Okay. And so I got the job. And so I set out to be the new, what was my title? It was like fashion news reporter at People magazine. And long story short, I lasted 2.5 weeks. I ended up getting fired. It was absolutely horrible. Like, I was just completely unqualified for that job, even though I got the job because I was a good writer. I didn't have any sort of background in fashion. Like, I grew up in Rhode Island. I was, I don't know, like wearing like hemp necklaces, you know, like it wasn't, I'm not a high fashion person, and the job definitely required that. And so after 2.5 weeks, it was very clear. I made so many embarrassing mistakes that we can save those for another time. But basically, so I found myself without a job for the first time. And that's when I sort of made the move into travel, because for the first time, I didn't have to go into an office. And that's sort of how I merged into the travel writing sphere. And then I started getting invited on these press trips, which I'm not sure if listeners know what those are, but basically it's when a hotel or a tourism board or someone, they invite a group of journalists to a specific destination so that the journalists can get to know that place and then write about it for all the various magazines. So I started getting invited on those, and I met on one of those trips, I met a travel editor at Yahoo Travel. And she was like, yo, you should be a travel writer and you should come work for me. And so I was like, sweet, done. So I started as an editor at Yahoo Travel. And after that, I became the travel editor at BuzzFeed, where I headed up the travel department. The last job I had before I went freelance again was at Condé Nast.
Let's just fast forward through all of your commercial jobs, right? So you were freelance, you were writing, you know, for travel, and then you were fired for not being fashionable. Like, you know, basically, you know, I mean, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, but you just came out with a new book, right? Yep. So you launched Destination Wellness, which is really, at the end of the day, it's all about healthy living. And of course, you've had all these amazing travels around the world. So you kind of have put this book together. And how did you bring this to life? Like, talk about why wellness?
I have just always had a burning desire to write a book. And so I think what happened was, when I was at this job at Self Magazine, part of my job was to analyze and think of ways to incorporate all of these commercial wellness products into stories. And the magazine itself is absolutely amazing. Like, they do such a good job. The reporters are so smart. But being part of the greater wellness industry through that job, I became disillusioned with the industry at large, just seeing the inner workings of it and just seeing how much of it is sort of this push that wellness is equal to products, and this idea that you can buy and sell wellness, and that wellness as a result is often associated with, you know, it's like something for the rich, and it's not accessible to everyone because it's something that you have to buy, and not everybody has the disposable income to do that. And so that was sort of my disillusionment with the wellness industry at large. And how the book came to be is that I, as you know, I just explained, I had a background in travel writing. And so I had been traveling around the world, and I had seen how the commercial wellness industry has not reached a lot of other places. And it's not this whole idea that wellness is something you can buy. It's not like that in so many other places around the world. And so I began to create this vision of this book, where I would go around the world and interview people in places where wellness was not so commercialized. And I would ask them, what does wellness mean to you? Like, how can people get themselves out of this commercial bubble and associate themselves with a more genuine outlook of well-being?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, I think from a wellness category perspective, you know, the cannabis space in particular is, you know, the foundation of it all really is on wellness. Everything from people taking vitamins, to people using it for sleep, to people using it, you know, on the CBD side for muscle pains and relief. You know, what have you found, at least across your travels, when it comes to cannabis, both, you know, THC and CBD derivatives.
Right. So for this book, for Destination Wellness, I went around to 6 different places around the world, and I interviewed people in each place about what well-being means to them. And one of those places was Jamaica. So it's funny because I feel like when I tell people that Jamaica is part of this book, people automatically zoom into the cannabis sector. But actually what I mostly wrote about in the chapter is this philosophy called ITAL. Mm-hmm. And ITAL is rooted in Rastafarianism. So basically, just to give a brief overview of Rastas in general, because I think that that's definitely what most people associate Jamaica with, and especially with cannabis. So for Rastas, smoking cannabis is a religious activity. Mm-hmm. It is, for them, it is a way to connect to Haile Selassie, who is their god. And basically, they have created this idea of building levity. And levity is a life force. And to them, there are many, many ways to build this idea of levity. And once you have a strong life force going, you will be more connected to God. And that brings you to ultimate well-being. And so the idea is to build levity in as many possible ways as you can. One of the ways to build levity is by smoking cannabis. And so that's why when people say it's a religious activity, it's because smoking cannabis to them is a way to increase their levity, which then brings them closer to God. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other ways also to increase your levity. Growing your hair and dreads is one of them. That's why you often see a lot of Rastas with dreadlocks. And another one is to adopt this ITAL way of living. And that's actually what I mostly wrote about in the book. And ITAL is the natural way of eating. So it's all about eating whole foods from the earth and avoiding processed foods, because to Rastas in Jamaica, that processed foods are associated with colonialism, and that is everything that they were up against. And so to them, avoiding processed foods is a way to sort of do their own thing and not associate themselves with their oppressors.
I don't know if you found this out when you were in Jamaica too, because I heard this quite a bit, but you know, the act of also smoking marijuana in Jamaica, a lot of people would turn to it as a kind of a truth. Like, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people. They're like, if you smoke weed, you know, you're going to see things that you might not normally see. It's going to tell you the truth, right? Whether it's an ailment or whether it's something you're thinking, or, you know, just a kind of a deeper understanding of something that, you know, in your regular conscious self, you might not actually see.
Absolutely. That is a huge part of it. And so I love this word. So Rastas call the act of smoking together and coming together to enjoy this plant, they call it a reasoning. Mm. And the reason is that it could be called a conversation when you're getting together and you're enjoying, you know, when you're smoking cannabis together and you're talking about whatever comes to your mind. That often is called a conversation, but Rastas have created their own language. And the idea of this language is to avoid any sort of word that that sounds negative. And so when you think about the word conversation, because it has the phrase con in it, the idea is never to con anyone. The idea is always to spread positivity. And so that's why they call it a reasoning instead. And the idea is when you get together and when you have a reasoning, it's a way to connect to the higher power. And when you're doing that, yes, that's exactly when you see the truth come to light, because you're connecting to something that is much, much bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So
I love it. It's like, there's so much you can get into when you really read about the history of all of this. It makes so much sense and it's fascinating. And
yeah. Can we be smoking right now?
What?
Should we be smoking right
now? I know.
Now?
Well, yeah, I think that we should. I think we could have our own reasoning, you know?
So Annie, you know, another thing that, you know, I hear every single day, and also myself included, is, you know, a lot of people are also turning to cannabis, whether it's edibles, whether it's just a straight up joint, you know, all sorts of different products to actually help with sleep. And I feel like through the pandemic, a lot of people are overworked, they're not traveling, they're home, and their kids are home, and they're stressed. And so they're kind of, you know, turning to something like that. And I, even myself, like I've had great experience with, you know, kind of turning to an edible or even smoking a little bit before bed and just kind of putting me out. Is that something you're hearing a lot too?
Oh, I am definitely hearing that. I think actually people are starting to use cannabis in this way more than wine, more than alcohol, especially Gen Z. They definitely prefer cannabis over the alcohol industry. And again, it's just a way to relax before bed. And I actually don't do that well with cannabis before bed. It gives me absolute insane dreams.
I get that with melatonin though.
Yeah. So for me, I take melatonin before bed every night and it just absolutely puts me out like a baby. I take the 3 milligrams. It's so, so tiny, but for whatever reason, it knocks me out and I sleep so well. But yeah, with cannabis before bed the other night, I had the worst scary dream. I woke up and basically I remembered having a dream about aliens, and they had these big bright blue eyes. And it was so vivid that when I woke up, I could still picture the aliens. And I was just like, okay, I need to not smoke before bed anymore. This is not a good look. But I mean, it's so different for everybody, you know, it's like you just said, for you, it puts you out. And so I think it's worth my advice for people in general is that it's worth experimenting and it's worth playing around with it and seeing what works for you, because there are just so many different strains out there and you know, so many ways to ingest it and so much anecdotal evidence that points to the fact that it's a really wonderful way to put yourself to sleep if your body takes it well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you before we break is, as you know, have written this book and you've, you know, had all these great travels, and many of us are dreaming of, you know, getting back on the road for, you know, dream destinations. Anything that we should be thinking about kind of on our post-pandemic bucket list?
Ooh, that is such a good question. Well, I would say all of the destinations that I visited in my book are great, but in particular, I really, really loved Norway. And each chapter that I wrote about in the book, I focused on one philosophy. Like in Jamaica, I focused on Eitel. And in Norway, the wellness philosophy that I wrote about is called Friluftsliv. And Friluftsliv is the Norwegian word for the free air life. And it basically speaks to the fact that Norwegians have an absolute desire to spend as much time outside as humanly possible. And they love to tell you that there's no bad weather, only bad clothing.
Okay.
And what that means is they just believe that everything that you do should be outside. And I have found that that philosophy is actually very helpful during the pandemic right now, as we're all just, I mean, most people experiencing winter right now, it's completely brutal. But mm-hmm. I will remind myself many times, like, just put on the gear, put on the right gear and go outside and you'll experience the wonders of just being outside and
yeah.
Seeing.
I try to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still cold.
I know it's still cold, but you have to have the right gear. And then, but when you see Norwegians living the Friluftsliv life in Norway, it really, I mean, Norway is just stunning. It is so beautiful. And obviously they want to spend as much time outside as possible because look around, it's like with the fjords and the mountains, it's just, it's, yeah, it is definitely worth putting on your travel bucket list for sure.
Totally. Well, I will, you know, note that 2 weeks ago, a bunch of friends and I, I live out in East Hampton, and we literally went into the ocean, 37 degree water, in our bathing suits, and it was freezing, and it was exhilarating. And I've been meaning to do it ever since then, but I haven't been able to get anybody to go with me. But apparently it's super healthy to like jump in, you know, ice cold water, you know, just talk to Wim Hof. He does it every day.
Yep. It definitely is, especially if you follow it up with something hot right after, and then you kind of go back and forth between the hot and the cold.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the bathing culture will tell you that bathing culture around the world is proof that dunking in cold water is good for the soul. So I fully support that. I would love to do that with you at some point.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So Annie, you know, before we break away, I just wanted to, you know, quickly like talk to us about where we can get the book. It's Destination Wellness, Global Secrets for Better Living Wherever You Are. I imagine you can get it on Amazon.
Yes, you can. And basically wherever books are sold, local bookstores, Amazon. Yep. All of those places. On April 6th, it comes out on April 6th.
Fantastic. And thanks for coming on the show and talking all about your travels and wellness around cannabis. And it was great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. Great chat.
Awesome, Annie.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.